Good evening, Abosa. Good evening. I heard once from Avraham Shmuel Levitz, I wonder if I shared it once with you. If I did, please just press the stop button, okay? Pardon? Nein, nicht das meine ich. Another, Avraham once told me that his father, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, has once a yid that elderly gentleman, and he was old, and he caught a cold in the winter and in pneumonia, and then Chmona Litzlan, he was nifta. He had pneumonia, and then eventually he was nifta. So people said that he caught a cold and in the winter and he was nifta. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz, who knew the person very well, I heard it from his son Rabbi Avraham. Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Mir Rosh Hashiva, he said that he told Rabbi Avraham, and he said, you know, people say that this gentleman, he caught a cold in the winter, and he was nifta. And he said, that's not the reality, says Reb Chaim. So the reality was that he caught a cold in Rosh Hashanah, and that's why things turned out not so good. He said that person has to realize that everything is nigzal in Rosh Hashanah, from davens geschmack, then one can always bet on all the good things. But if Chaim, he said it was, this is what I heard from before, in the name of Reb Chaim. I heard a very good word. We find on Rosh Hashanah in the Sforim it says that Rosh Hashanah the first day of Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Din, is a stricter judgment. The second day is slightly more lenient. It's actually in the Tefillis we mention that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is a strict Din, and the second one is Rachamim. The Rebbe Shem has got more mercy. The question is, why is that? Why is that? When it's all the way around, why is that? The first day is judgment, strict judgment, second day is more lenient. Why is that? So I saw that Rav Dessler basically points out, other Mephoshim extend his vote a little bit, and they say the following, Marshall was a two burglars, a joint team, that went into a bank, and they robbed the bank. I don't know how they managed to do it, but they, you know, I think it's quite hard. But they managed to break into the bank, into the treasures of the bank, and they managed to take loads and loads and loads of, and they escaped. However, what happened was, the predictable, you know, the police ran after them, and the predictable thing happened, the police ran after them, and they ran, and they tried to escape, and they tried to hide and escape. Now, out of the two people, one of them realized, and he said, you know, I think that we're going to get caught anyway. I think we're just going to get caught. There's no point. So I might as well just give up now and just raise my hands and wave the flag, wave the white flag, and I'm gonna just, you know, stand to what I've done. The other one said, no, I'll keep going until they actually catch me. They were both, obviously, one of the guys, he went up to the, and he raised his hand and said, here I am, I've you know, do whatever you want. And the other one, he got caught eventually, and he was both ended up in on trial by the judge. Now, obviously, the judgment was the judgment was different. What was the difference between them? What was one was came out more lenient than the other? Which one? Obviously, the one who gave himself to the authorities, he was more lenient. Why is that? Why is that? The crime was the identical crime. Why is one more? They both broke into the bank. They both stole an identical amount of money. Why is he more judged more lenient than the other?
Because the other one thought he'd get away with it.
That's right. The other one thought he'd get away with it. That's exactly the point. He thought he'll get away with it, and he should have known better. The other one, he realized that in time I'm going to get caught anyway, so I might as well go to authorities now. The difference between Yom Rishon and Yom Beis, the first and second day of Rosh Hashanah, is as follows. First day of Rosh Hashanah is Rebbe Shem is asking us to come to the Nitzah. Then the Reise. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is the Reise. First day of Rosh Hashanah is the Reise. That's when we are called to judgment. We're called red-handed, and the Rebbe Shem is calling us to judgment. Second day is different. Second day is Darabonon. Darabonon means that, really, from the Reise perspective, there was no Rosh Hashanah on the second day. From the Reise perspective, there was no Rosh Hashanah. What happens is that we are the ones, Darabonon, the Yidden, us, Klal Yisrael, we are going to Rebbe Shem and say, you know, here we are. We know we are not perfect. We know we're not perfect. And instead of trying to escape further, second option, we are the ones going to Rebbe Shem and we say, here we are, you know, do what you feel is fair, and we know we're not perfect. That's the difference in the first day and second option. That's why on the second option, it's called a din. It's a din. The din is more lenient. First day, second day, Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Back to Hilchas Tefillin Sim Lamed Tes. Carrying on from where we finished off, the Sim Lamed Tes, Seif Aleph, teaches us the rule of kol she einoi bekshira einoi beksiva. Whoever cannot tie the tefillin, he cannot write the tefillin. And we spoke about all the cases, including Isha, Cotton, Muma, etc. Seif Beis is a continuation from that. Seif Beis. Kol shepasul lekosvon, whoever is not, cannot write the tefillin, kol shepasul lekosvon, whoever is possible to write the tefillin, posul, is also possible, b'chol tikkun asiyosan, with any tikkun, fixing of the tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah mentions what is referring to. Asiyosan in Seif Cotton Yud, says the Mishnah Berurah, dafke she'oise maise beguf ha'tefillin. Any part, any involvement of the creation of the tefillin has to be made, but has to be done by somebody who actually wears tefillin. But that's only if it's maise beguf ha'tefillin, if it's an integral part of the tefillin. Could go in such as chipoy abatim, the creation of the batim, v'tefiroson, the stitches, all those parts are integral. And they need to be done by somebody who actually wears the tefillin. The kolchin, even more so, asiyas ashin, the making of the shin, pa'oir abatim, with the leather of the batim, oi lehagia is the ois, or to fix any letter within the parshas, the ato posul, before that the letter was posul, the tefillin were posul, the alide hagoso, and by the hago, by the fixing, yuchshoi becomes kosher. The zeu ksiva mamash, that's called the ksiva mamash, and therefore, if any of those parts are done, they must be done by somebody who wears the tefillin, just like the asiyah, the writing of the tefillin needs to be done by somebody who wears the tefillin. Similarly, also all those fixing additional parts of the tefillin has to be done by somebody who actually wears the tefillin. Avol ibud haklaf, with regards to the processing of the klaf, and neinu bichlal zeh, the processing of the klaf is not part of it. The kosher al idei oivit gilulim, that can be done through a goy, the kolshkin even more so the isha through a woman. Rak only with oivit gilulim when it comes to a goy processing the leather. Peinon she yisrael oimid al gabo, we need a yid which is on his standing on his back and making sure that he's doing it lishma virish lishma, and ensures that it's done lishma. Kedal b'simin lamed base vuadin bekodin simin the child as well. Hashchores habatim v'ratzus, with regards to blackening the tefillin and blackening the ratzus. Ein le'el simin lamed gil shibarim shom dinim beizer Hashem isboch, that's discussed earlier. Ve'griras devek sheben ois le'ois, and when it comes to scratching off some glue between the letters, or there's something in between the letters, lechatchila yesh lizor shel la'asel adonam, should not be done by women, children, etc. Because it's not possible. It's not possible, and you're not making it kosher by scratching it off. Therefore, it can be done by somebody else. B'di'eved. U'v'di'eved and lehachmir. Right. Now, to add, the Mishnah Berurah Seif Cotton test addressed an interesting shaila. Mizol nicht wissen, what happens if somebody's hand got cut off, his left hand got cut off, Rachman Litzlan. Seif Cotton test, b'chol. Mishen nikto yoda smolis. Imagine somebody whose left hand is cut off. Can he write tefillin with his right hand or not? What would you have said? Oh. He just can't. He practically, everybody agrees to that?
If a person's arm is too short to a tefillin, does that mean he's not tzuva or he can't?
Good question. Says the Mishnah Berurah the following. Umisha nikta yad asmolis, if his left hand never got cut off. Afal pi, even though she'enu bekshira, although he is not really kshira, he cannot do kshira, he cannot tie the tefillin. Yochel lichtov tefillin, he can write tefillin, mamash like Rabbi Kagan said. That is, he's still okay to write tefillin, he's still allowed to write tefillin. Why is that? The gavra, the man, bar chiyuvahu, is still a bar chiyuv, is still a man of obligation. Elo, only puma, his mouth through the koivle, his mouth is hurting him. It's an expression of the Gemara. That his mouth is hurting him, he can't actually speak, but really he's a bar chiyuv, he's really a man of obligation. So it's just a technical, what was your word? How did you say it? It's a technical obstacle. It's like he's got a bit of a problem there. He can't actually put on tefillin. But really, he's a bar chiyuv, and he's really part of the obligation. He's an oinus, as it were, and he doesn't put on tefillin, but he can write tefillin. That's interesting. Okay, Seif Gimel Mishnah Berurah in Shulchan Aruch. Geir, what about a geir, Rabbi Yisai? A person who was a goy and became a yid. A geir shechozal ledosoy machmasire. A geir that became a yid because he fears that people are going to kill him if he's a goy. How about that? You feel you're more safe by being a yid. nowadays, would you? Sounds, you can't really, yeah? You can't really, okay. Geshe chazal edosim achmasi. Well, if you'd be living in the heart of Stamford Hill, how would you feel? Geshe chazal edosim achmasi. If somebody's a geir and he's becoming it because of fear. Kosher lichter tfilin is an outright tfilin. Good, 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 good. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. If God knew the Alef Yirot, Shelo Yahaguhu, he fears that people are going to kill him. Af ve'af the be'emes yolim soir nafshal emunas Hashem. Although,
but his intention wasn't there. He did it out of fear. So isn't there a difference?
Excuse me. You know what? I've made a mistake. I just realized. Please apologize. I've made a mistake. I just realized now. I made a mistake. Can we just rewind? I made a mistake. It's the other. Thank you very much. Okay. Made a mistake. It's not that. It's Geir Shechazal Adosim Achmasi. Mishnah Berurah explains what happened. It's the other way around. Shalom Shema Yigu. After Bem Yisrael Olim Soir, it's a person that is a Yid. And he was threatened to, like you said, it makes much more sense. He was threatened to be killed unless he converts. Thank you. This way around. Then, thank you very much. So there the Aloch is that he still kosher to write for him. Again, we're talking about a Yid who was threatened. You need to convert or others will kill you. And he did convert. And he's still, as a panos says, still a sofa. What's the halacha? Can you write? Can you wear his tefillin or not?
That's called a ger, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I confused. It's called a ger. Yeah, that's right. It's, yeah.
But if he was a yid that converted willingly, so he wasn't forced to convert fear, but he wanted to convert.
Then he's considered a mumel avet kichoven. If he really wanted to,
yeah, he's technically a yid, but he.
Right, but that's considered a mumel avet kichoven. He's a mumel and he's out. Yeah, so this is talking about, yeah, Yishalagov. After Bemes Olim Soy Nafshal Emunas Hashem, says the Mishnah. Although really the halacha is if somebody is threatened, there's a few things that a person has to do even if he's threatened to be killed. And that's one of the things is that, you know, you're not allowed to give up, you know, you're not allowed to serve Avodah Zarah. And he was really meant to do that. He was really meant to be Moisa Nefesh for Emunas Hashem. Because Mokum nevertheless, Lo Yotz Michlal Yisrael Edezeh, he's still considered a Yid. Yes! He should have been Moshe Nefesh. Yes, he should have said, kill me, I'm not going to bow down. But, because it was done on the threat of killing him, he's still considered Yid if he did convert. I'm the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham disagrees. He says, you cannot be lenient. Even more so, if he's like the Maranos, that he kept Torah secretly. So that's not good enough. It's not good enough. He can't wear such tefillin, the apostle. Even if he did, as long as if he did convert publicly, you're not allowed to wear his tefillin of no good. Even just the fact that he's not wearing tefillin. Once a Yid stops wearing tefillin, that's it. Even if he's threatened to be killed, whatever the reason is, if a Yid doesn't put on tefillin, you can't wear He's filling an apostle. Then what he writes.
If he's threatened to be killed, if he puts on he's going to be killed, so he's like.
Yeah.
He would still be pardoned.
So Magen Avraham disagrees. Magen Avraham says, even if he's threatened to be killed,
even then,
if he stops wearing tefillin, if it is on the threat, that's it. Magen Avraham holds.
If he can put something like even once?
Yeah.
He still would be up there?
No, it doesn't help. If he doesn't put on tefillin anymore, that's it.
But if it's just he had to put it on, just once he put it on for whatever reason.
Once he didn't put it on for whatever reason.
He still not be allowed to?
I suppose that if he doesn't put it on once, for a threat of that kind of reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason, he's able to get illness or.
Yeah, well, if it's that kind of reason, they will be fine. Yeah. Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Yes. That's a really interesting shaila. And that is a really interesting shaila. A sofa who wrote beautiful kosher tefillin for years and eventually changed, he turned away. And turned away. On the threat or not on the threat? Let's say on the threat. But he didn't put on tefillin in the maisa. And then eventually he turned around again. And it was chozer b'tshuva. So the tefillin that he wrote at the very beginning, that for sure perfect. The tefillin that he wrote after he turned around, it was chozer b'tshuva, That's also perfect. The question is, what about that interim period? Very nice, Shaila. What do you think? Probably kosher. What do you think? Interim period? What do you think? You'd have said that. It's okay? Yeah? It's an interesting one. No good? Because at that, during that time... Okay, it's something to think about. I'm not sure. Not just interesting, Shaila. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. I'm bever agrosh shemaskim gam kela Mogen Avraham. Mogen Avraham is the Gaon also agrees to the Mogen Avraham that you can't be lenient. Yeah. Oit kasa Mogen Avraham. Mogen Avraham also says b'shemata kemoi shenei of the Rama. Daaf to be safe for Torah mamzegei v'toisha. Daaf di be the sefer Torah mamze v'geir toishav psulim lichtoiv. Although a sefer Torah which is written by mamze geir is not, you know, not true, is an apostle. K'mo shikasa b'irideh afiloch b'tfinu mezuz ein lochush. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down in the name of Dakimo, in the name of the Rama, he says actually a difference between and tefillin mezuzahs and the sefer Torah. Is that tefillin and mezuzahs are more lenient with regards to a mamza and a ger toshav. So that's not, I'm saying mamza and a ger toshav, that not that common. But the point that we see from here, that a ger toshav and since there's a ger toshav and a mamza can write the sefer Torah, they cannot write the sefer Torah. But tefillin mezuzahs can be written by that. We see that to some extent sefer Torah is more stringent and more severe. More chomo, and mezuzahs and tefillin are actually more lenient to some extent. But many achronim disagree, and they say again, if you don't put on tefillin, you certainly can't write the tefillin. That's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to paskin as well. Okay, Sif Dalet. Tefillin shekosvam apikoyres. Tefillin that were written by an apikoyres, yisrofu. They should be burnt. Tefillin which was written by an apikoyres should be burnt. They have no kedusha v'yesh oimrim yegonzun. Some say you have to put in Shemus. Again? Oh, very good. It's got Hashem's name. How can that be? It's got Hashem's name. Oh, very good. The Mishnah Berurah explains. Sefkot yud gimel yisrofu. Im askroisem with Hashem's name. Sefkot et tefillin, you burn it with Hashem's name. Why is that? Kamon simen shina medalet. The stomach shekoyshev Hashem avodes gilulim mukoyshev. Sefkot apikoyres. Who doesn't believe in anything about Hashem, and he's got his own beliefs and avodah zarah and everything. If you see him writing tefillin, you can be sure that he's not writing for the right purpose. He's writing it because of his own agenda, for his own avodah kechovim, or for his own motivation. It's not Hashem, it's not mitzvahs, it's not Torah, because he doesn't believe in it. So therefore, if he wrote it for such an intent, for such an intention, such a kavanah, that's got no kedusha on it. Burn it. Burn it, it's going to Kedusha. However, Yesh Oimim, others disagree, and they say, Yesh Oimim Yigon, so they should put in Shemus. Why is that? They ain't derech apikoyres loniach tefillin. Because an apikoyres doesn't normally wear tefillin. Obevade kosvalim kolei soil. And he wrote them, surely with intention to sell it to a yid. And it's very likely that he didn't put it, that he didn't have the intention of his gilulim. But the Askomas, Achoinim is like the first. Again, we've got a Machloikas over here. What about the Tefillin which was written by Apikoyres? The first opinion holds that he can just burn it. The reason being, if a Goy, not an Apikoyres, a Goy, an Apikoyres, who doesn't believe in Hashem, doesn't believe in mitzvahs, doesn't believe in mitzvahs tefillin at all. If he wrote tefillin, you can be sure that he's got the wrong intention and there's no kedusha in it. It's not sacred, it's not holy, it's not heilig. You can just put it in there, you can just burn it. No kedusha at all. That's the first opinion, and that is how we pass on halacha lemaaseh, according to the Mishnah Berurah. However, the second opinion holds, it's not true. Because he's an apikoyres. Now, most goyim don't put on tefillin. They don't put on tefillin. So if he, an apikoyres, writes the tefillin, what was normal, what do you think he did it for? What could he have done it for? It's not for his own religious beliefs, it's an apikoyres. So what did he do the tefillin for? That's right, Panosa, he knows. They're all good friends, the Yidden, they spend a fortune on the tefillin. And he's going to find he wants to still Panosa, he wants to still take the money from the You know, he still wants to get the money out of them. So therefore, he thinks to himself, I'm going to write kosher tefillin, I'm going to sell them on. Like this, I'm going to make a living. I don't believe in it, but I'm still going to make a living out of it. Therefore, it was probably done with the right intent, with the right lishma. And therefore, if he's selling them, you can actually wear them. They're kosher. He's doing it lishma, he's doing it for the right purpose of tefillin. It's written for the mitzvah of Hashem. He's not going to do it. But somebody else goes, no, I hear what you're saying. What can you explain? He doesn't.
So how can it be?
Because he's doing it for somebody who does. He's not doing it for religious purpose. He's not doing it for the wrong purpose. Yeah, he doesn't have the right intention, but he certainly doesn't have the wrong intention. He doesn't have the intention of any avodah zarah. He doesn't have a lishma, a wrong lishma. He does it for a yid, using it for the right purpose.
It's not ideal.
It's not. And the truth is, well, you're actually right, Halacha Lemaaseh, because we do paskan, like your opinion says, put it, burn it. Burn it. Yeah. Yes.
Does the same thing apply to printing?
Good question. Topic on its own, I'm not going to answer it. Good question. Yeah. Yeah. Good. So the truth is, similar to what you are saying, the truth is that even that opinion holds that it was maybe done, similar to what you're saying, even the opinion holds that it was that he might have done it to sell to a yid, that opinion is not convinced that it was done properly, Shema, and because he is, as you're saying, he's not because he doesn't believe. So we're just taking it, all that the opinion is saying is that you can't burn it because maybe it was done with the right intention. So what are you going to make it do with it? So put it in Sheamus. Exactly. So it's just a suffix. They don't say you can put it on and make a brach on it. We're not going that far. That opinion is saying, don't burn it because maybe it was done with the right intent. He wanted to sell it on. So you can put it in Sheamus and that's how far it goes. Don't burn it because maybe the names of Hashem have kokdusha. To recap what we covered tonight, Be'ezer Hashem, on our final shiur of the year, we learned the halachas of that culture ain't a bekshira, ain't a beksiva. Any fixing of the tefillin has to be done by somebody who wears the tefillin. Even painting black and any integral part of the tefillin has to be done by somebody who actually wears the tefillin. We learned also about somebody who turns Rachman al-Itzlan off the derech and he goes off. We learned that if he does it machmasira, the opinion in the Shulchan Aruch says his tefillin are okay, but the Mishnah Berurah brings the Magen Avraham that we don't paskin like that. We then learned also the halachas of a tefillin which was written by an Apikoyres. First opinion, that's how we paskin, says burn them. Second opinion holds you should put it in Sheamus, and because maybe it was done with the right intent, maybe he wanted to sell it on and he didn't have a purpose in his mind. Right, this is what we covered tonight, and I just want to thank everybody, and wish you all a very, very much exceed and a chesima tov and a good gebench. That was a pleasure this year to learn together as a chosh v'chabur. It was a really, really pleasure, and I'm looking forward to next year, Mitzvah Shem, carrying on learning, and I v'chelchem l'reis, and really, it's mamash a pleasure, and let's carry on learning and steiging next year, Mitzvah Shem. Exceed v'chesima tov, a good gebench. See you next year, Mitzvah Shem.